Yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome back for another episode of the All Things Bagels podcast. This is the fifth fucking attempt Drake and I are trying to get this intro going. I've been fucking up. He's been fucking up. It's been a long weekend. Yo, like, I've been in, talking with other Bengals people for fucking 12 hours today. Drake's been heavily involved with the draft process. Time to exhale, bro. How are you doing?
Well, see, you forgot your big like opening clause, like you started out like post-draft edition. You had to throw that in there like you usually do, like post-draft edition.
That sounds cute. This year, bro, it was a fucking exhaust towards the
It really was.
yeah it was a lot, right? Like six picks today.
I made 13 graphics today, B thanks. I was gassed.
Bro, facts. Like I couldn't even get around to making a lot of them, bro, for me. Like, and then after, like, I had to make more, and but I'm trying because I'm trying to have conversations because we're in playback, as I promoted it last night. If anybody's on a TV, gotta tap in. It's an incredible platform. We were, I mean, bro, like the commentators in the draft. Well, I can't say we're going as hard as them because they knew essentially everybody, right? But like, I mean, always different conversations we were talking. So it was so much going on today, so much throughout this process. It's been an incredible one. Like it was so fun, throughout the draft this year. And
But I will say, I mean, with you and Zim and B-Rad and all the other guys on Twitter that really like show the rest of the community the knowledge in depth, it's pretty cool because I looking at a lot of these draft picks, I feel like I'm familiar with them in a way, like Amarius Mims, Chris Jenkins, Jermaine Burton, Kenley Jackson, like these guys from the first four, and then you look at the guys that we drafted here in the last on day three. It's like, I mean, outside of a couple, I mean, I'm pretty familiar with a lot of these guys.
exactly, dude. Yeah, I mean that's what made it so much more fun, and I'm glad that you took it like that, and I know so many other people felt that way as well, and it just made it more engaging, and it made it more enticing that and stressful, that each
Yeah, that's what I think that's what it had, like it's positives but it's negatives, because you had a lot of people on Twitter like bro, like I feel like this year I never seen people go that ham on mock drafts and shit. Maybe I just didn't used to pay attention as much, but like man, I was getting like I was getting tired. But then like learning about the players, in my opinion, that's fun. That's like a whole different side, because you don't know which one of these guys is gonna be coming to Houdain Nation and playing here in Cincinnati. So once you're really in that process, learn about the guys, that's cool. That's the fun.
yeah, exactly. No doubt. Yeah, it feels much more real. And yeah, for six more players today, that was the case for him. It felt real. And starting off with the day, man, like starting off this morning, at least in my opinion, what I saw everybody saying, and obviously in my head, was beef up the interior of the O-line. Make it happen. You were in a golden opportunity that you addressed the D-line on night two. Right, and you got the weapon you liked. Take care of the interior of the O line, and they pretty much waited till the last second, literally, to do that. Getting drafted Eric All, first pick of day three, 115 OVR. I was pretty stoked, bro. Fairfield High School grad, which is pretty dope. I had no idea he lived 30 minutes from here. I would say this, Brady was messing around. A nasty correlation is he's like, oh yeah, I remember the last time we drafted a Fairfield High School product that tore his ACL in college. I was like, don't. We can't have no Jackson Carmen again. We can't do this.
Yeah, I think in round four too, you can't consider it a Jackson Carmen at
No,
that
nah, yeah, he was,
point.
but pretty cool. I didn't know he was a Cincinnati product. But yeah, dude, like Eric All, I mean, well versed. He was in college for a while, for I think 5, 6 years. Had a full 4 years at Michigan, I think. It just didn't turn out how he wanted to. Then, I think he was obviously eligible to transfer over to Iowa. Then he suffered through a couple injuries. And that's what is really interesting with the Eric Aull situation, because he suffered a spinal surgery or spinal injury that required spinal surgery in 22. He supposedly fully recovered from that, which is incredible. Pretty rare. Pretty cool. Like, I mean, that just sounds really intense. So good for him that he recovered fully from that. Then the ACL later last year. Still navigating through that now. He should be ready to go by camp, but quickly before you add in, he's going to start the year on PUP. That's why they drafted two tight ends. All along, I said it would make no sense to draft two tight ends because you would have five on the roster, which five are not making it, four are. Now you can squeeze all the guys you had previously, obviously Mike Tanner, Drew Tanner now, and then Eric on PUP, bring him onto the roster later. Pretty interesting move there for the Bengals to recognize they have a good opportunity to take a really good tight end, stash him on the roster for later.
Yeah, man, it's and you watch just as a fan, you watch the highlights of him when he is on the field, and man, he's a really fun tight end to watch. You saw, Louis Riddick. He was Louis Riddick. He said this, during draft coverage, like, this guy, he's healthy. You have the next George Kittle type tight end, and I mean you can't ask for, obviously comparisons get thrown around and stuff like that, but it's like, man, imagine a George Kittle like talent in this offense. That it's insane. You guys to even think about that, especially when you add a guy just last night or the night, a couple nights ago in Jermaine Burton, who I think is going to win the fans over, in my opinion, very quickly. Once you get into training camp and stuff like that, I think fans are really going to start to like Burton. But yeah, man, like the double dip of tight end, I actually didn't even think about that. I know they said what he tore his ACL in, was it October?
Think so, yeah, like week seven, week eight.
Okay. So I mean, there's a possibility. I think there was something that said he's gonna try to shoot to be ready.
Yeah, no, that's right. But what's going to be nice is that
Yeah.
they're not going to rush him back at all.
Oh, facts, yeah.
They should be inclined to, well, I mean, look. Hey, if he's completely ready and if he shows out in camp, perfect. But here's the interesting thing, though.
Yeah.
Look, maybe here's just a reality. Maybe the Bengals aren't this high on T. Huddy. But if they are, that's the initial route I just brought up about the PUP is how you should take it for him. Because you don't have to rush him back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, let's ensure that he takes the steps that he needs to succeed in the league. Which is to wait, right? More than to rush him back. So, yeah, it was an interesting move, but yeah, dude, like you said, I mean, well, with the high praise from Louis Riddick, I obviously wouldn't go that far.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
He's, I mean, 250 pounds, 6'5", massive human, athletic, strong. Can if he's getting no George Kittle praise, he can work in line as a blocker. So he likes to block. He can create in space. Yeah, man. Like he's got really good hands. He's got good vision. He's just an overall really good tight end. So yeah, I like to pick at 115.
Yeah. I mean, you he if he didn't have the injuries, this guy is, I'm saying he's gonna be a heavily touted type of talent in terms of, being drafted a lot earlier. It was talked about with his injuries and stuff too. And we've talked about it before. It's like if you can obviously he's had his time in Michigan, but it's like, man, if you can get an Iowa tight end, like it's gonna work. You know what I mean? Like it's gonna work. And
Well, the reason why Iowa tight ends work so well is because they are forced to be run first. So you have to be balanced. And then they get guys that are athletic. You know, like, yes, some guys just aren't as athletic, and then you get some Drew Samples. You know, which kind of it's not manipulative, but it's like tricky that you look at the RAS of Drew Sample and it just blows you away. You're like, oh my God, 93rd percentile. That motherfucker is not a 93rd percentile athlete at all.
No, like, I don't believe that. Hold up. Yeah,
bro, his RAS is high as shit. Drew's high as shit, bro.
What?
Bro, it's his size. He's big as hell. He's like,
I guess that's my goat. And
yeah, bro.
Nah, but the RES, I feel like that probably has a lot of factor in his blocking abilities. I mean, he's a dog, you know what I'm saying, as a blocker. Yeah.
Just he's so big, he's so strong.
Yeah.
His high, you know, the I'm sure his explosion is fucking bull garbo. Sure it is. Like, what obviously must not have been that bad to be 93, but nonetheless, like, yeah, Eric All, he can do it all. So, yeah, I'm excited for that pick. But let's go ahead and move to 149. So the unexpected one, like I said, how my outlook was and a lot of the people I was talking with, it was the interior line day. Go get the guy. Then you draft a slot corner at 150. Well, 149. If there was a spot to take a slot corner, probably at 149. So I can't knock him there. It definitely makes sense. Josh Newton. They call him Fig. Fig Newton. So just like CTB, Cam Taylor Britt, they say call me Juice. Juan Drago, we call him Drago. So obviously Mike, you know, is going to be the starter. And there's many other great names in the secondary, but just to name some of the guys in the secondary. Drago Turner, Juice Britt, if you want to be technical, a bit more technical, Fig Newton, Geno Stone, and Von Bell and Jordan Battle. I mean, that is a just awesome fucking lineup of names. And quick little rundown on Fig. Really good in zone coverage, 190 pounds, 5'10", 6.2 RAS, nothing insane. Right, this is just a well-rounded corner that has a knack for the football. He did create a lot of turnovers, and you know he loves to get involved in the action of contact. You know, he's a fiend for the line of scrimmage, getting to the ball, not afraid to get in there on tackles. I would not say he's a Mike Hilton type. I think he's a bit more athletic than Mike, but just a corner that they must have liked, right? You know, they must have brought him in. You know, found him. You know, found it confident to take him at 150. And, you know, you got a slot corner that could press Jalen Davis for that backup slot.
Yeah, that's actually what I first thought about. I was like, you know, you look at Jalen. Actually, let me – because, you know, the whole philosophy of, you know, the Bengals in the last couple years is like we have to get younger. And, you know, you have Jalen Davis there at 28, so you have him and Mike who are getting older, man, you know, getting older. And I think, Jalen is on his last year of his two-year deal.
Yeah, that's right. Two-year deal.
So, wow. I didn't even know that. I mean, the Bengals really could move off of Jalen Davis, and they would recoup $1 million. I mean, obviously, it's not.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, $1 million if they really, you know, felt like Josh Newton, you know, is that type of guy that can do that. Because, I mean, we got the news today, right? Maybe this is a good time to kind of fit this in there with the, you know, Zach Taylor and the announcement today of, like, Dax Hill, you know, being moved from the safety unit to the quarterback room. So, I mean, there's going to be, like, think about, like, the DJ Ivies and the, like – That cornerback room, man, is going to be loaded.
Mm-hmm. Lots of names, bro. You know, lots of bodies. And
we. You know what I thought, though? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You know what I thought, though? The first thing, like, when, like, the report came out, like, Zach Taylor confirms that Dax Hill will be in the cornerback room this year. It instantly made me, like, think of, like, remember, like, when you're a kid, man, like a little badass kid in, like, school, and you, like, switched around in classes and shit like that, or I don't know, like, just shit like that.
Yeah,
That's what I thought of instantly. I was like, that's just funny.
Really, man, if anything, I think that's kind of embarrassing. I hate to say in a bad way, it's like, it kind of epitomizes my outlook on it of it's always, I'm starting to get a sense that my perception of like value and how far this is where philosophy really rears its head, right? For a team or whatever. How many chances do you give a guy? My leniency with most positions is further is, I give a longer leash for players in my outlook because of the commitment you chose to initially give them. You are my XYZ number pick. You are my first round pick. You are my second round pick because I have to go all in on that to ensure what this is. Because when I picked you, I believed in you, right? So I wouldn't want to back out of that. So the reason I say that is it's annoying, to hear so many people, not calling out any specific Bengals fans or whatever, just people like just shoving a premium asset to the side. Like it's no big deal.
Right.
And then, fans are just like, oh, no worries at all. Just going to be in on select packages to play the Trey Hill role. Trey Flowers. Sorry.
Oh, yeah,
I can,
I agree with you on this.
yeah, I can pay $3 million for Trey Flowers, not the fucking 31st overall pick for Trey Flowers. Like, and yes, technically, you've been able to overcome this by acquiring Geno Stone and Von Bell in free agency, right? Yes, you were able to do that. You can't keep doing that, and you won't. Which, I mean, that's the goal, right? We can't have a fucking stretch where this is happening. You hope it ends this year and next year. With Miles, and as it was, Miles is hopefully a tweener of a really good high impact first round pick to a Dax. You know what I'm saying? Like he's in between. But yeah, Dax is moving to corner now, so he's gonna fight for the outside corner spot.
Really?
Yes, that's going to be it. Bro, he's not one of the slot corner job.
You're
So,
right.
yeah, that's,
Wow.
bro, he's going to be fighting Drago, his former teammate, for that role. And it's going to be an interesting dynamic, bro. So, because I feel like personally that Fig Newton is locked into that slot spot because he's 5'10", 190. I guess I can't, and he's not as fast. That's a prime example. You don't want to put him in space. You felt so confident with putting Drago in space because, yeah, he's physical. For being 180, but he runs a 4.2. He's got that range. You know what I'm saying? You trust him on the outside. If you have a generally on it, it's like I've said before. That's why I get annoyed when people like over they overanalyze the slot, quote unquote slot position. They keep it cut and dry. The more unathletic dude moves inside, closer to the ball. To where other guys can protect you because more dudes are there. The simplest way. Like, if you are more athletic, we can trust you further outside on your own. Right? So that's how
And
it is.
you got the safeties back there now.
And
And
you.
I just thought, like, man, now Jordan Battle, bro, he's gonna kind of be spoiled. Like he's gonna be able to learn from, you know what I'm saying, in meeting rooms and stuff like that too, because now, like I said, Dax will be
Yeah.
in the quarterback room. So it's like when you are Jordan Battle, dude, you're learning from a guy that led the NFL at his position in interceptions last year, absolute ball hog, and then a guy in Von Bell who has been in the system for such a long time and has produced at a high level.
Yep. And then Tyson as well. Like
Exactly.
but this is the year that Tyson can get healthy, and I guess that'll kind of lead into the next, the picks we have later, which we'll kind of keep it in order here. So yeah, that's probably the most substantial thing. I guess, well, with the news as well, we'll just kind of finish up the Zach news that's non-draft related. He was uber confident with Trey, really gracious with the whole process. But because Trey has valid concerns, and we already talked about that, right? Like it makes sense why the concerns are there to the extent that he chose to express those. Probably not what any of us would have preferred, but Zach said, obviously he was as gracious as it gets with Trey. Trey's been incredible, and he is 100% confident Trey will be a Bengal. We all expect that. So yeah, that's kind of it with that.
Well, here's the direct quote, 'cause I, you know how the old thing where you said, well, T, you're gonna take your 22 and you're gonna like it.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of funny with how Zach says,
Yeah, I heard
he
that.
goes, we want Trey to play next year with us. Trey is going to play for us. So it's like, Trey, you're gonna take your 20, whatever it is, 16 million, I don't know what it is, and you're gonna like it.
Bro, hear the end, bro. Dude, he said, Zach said, fuck, I wish I remember word for word, but it was something along the lines of, we're going to be happy and Trey is going to be happy playing for us. He said that.
Really?
I was like, you
Okay.
sure? Like, you can't promise that. So, yeah, even more than saying, you know, we're confident we're going to have Trey back, he said he's going to be happy. So, yeah, that is a
Like,
six.
is he gonna get paid and that's why he's gonna be happy, or?
Exactly right. So I was like, interesting because, like, I mean, he could not get paid. So you told him he's gonna be happy. I don't know about that. Sure. But yeah, bro. You know, so that was pretty much anything non-draft related from today. And we'll go ahead and move to 194. So here's where it got fun, bro. So as I said, my outlook, and I feel like a lot of other Bengals fans' outlooks were more O-line. All right, we're feeding it. We haven't got it yet. We haven't got it since round one. We need more protection for Joe. Another tight end, Tanner McLaughlin. This dude is so well-rounded. He was in an offense that was garbage. Arizona. It's fucking Arizona. Like,
Hey, but he beat, and listen, I you got to give credit to anyone who can beat a record of Rob Gronkowski. He beat his reception record in a season, a single season. So, shout out to McLaughlin, man.
I forgot Gronk played at Arizona.
Yes, bro, I know.
It's been so long. It's crazy. I remember 2010 when he came out. He was such a dipshit during the draft. It was so funny. I was like, dude, I know this dude is going to be a fuck in the league, or this dude is just going to fuck on the league. Like, it was either one of them, obviously, the latter half. But
He fucked on the league.
he did, bro. He straight fucked on the league. Whenever he was in there, he just. Everybody knew what's up, and obviously he's one of the greatest of all time now. Yeah, bro, Tanner is so well-rounded. Like I said, Arizona, shout out to Rob. But beyond that, they're not good. You know what? Actually, maybe I'm just wrong.
No,
Because
they're known for basketball, bro. Let's be honest.
well, listen to this. I'm actually really wrong right now because yes, they're known for basketball, but think of this, bro. First round tackle. Jordan Morgan. They had Jacob Cowing, one of the most explosive receivers in the nation. And then the most well-rounded tight ends in the nation. Who the fuck was their quarterback? They're probably garbage. So, I mean, so it was probably that was, you know, what the holdup was. Nonetheless.
Man, where did Louisville's quarterback go? This is so random, but there was this guy that pissed me off last year. He's so shitty. Jake Plummer.
Oh, Dak Plummer?
What is it?
Dak Plummer.
Are you sure?
Jake,
Jack. Yeah,
yes,
Jack.
Jake Plummer was the 2000 for the fucking Broncos.
Oh,
This,
Jack's going to the Panthers. Okay, that's funny.
yeah, Dak Plummer, bro, it's.
But McLaughlin, man, like 25. I told you about that. He's 25 years old. Kind of shocked you, huh?
Hell yeah, old ass motherfucker. That's crazy. I had
Hold
no idea.
up. We got to see when he turns 26 then. Because.
I'm looking at you look that up, I'm gonna look at his RAS. So let's see.
Okay, so he just turned 25 in March. So he's a little young, 25.
Okay. Congrats. Let's see.
Hilarious.
I know, it's like, damn, all right, we now. So 7.66 RAS. His speed is really good. 4.61, weighs 245, 6'5", 20 on the bench. Vert is elite. composite grade is garbage. My shuttle whooped his ass. Of course I did because I'm tinier. 244. Yeah, bro. I mean, damn, what the fuck? You know what's annoying, bro? Pre-draft to, or I guess, fucking from the combine to pro day, the numbers always get dropped down, bro. And that's annoying because, like, right after the combine, bro tested as a 9.4, 9.41. So 94 percentile. Dude, that shit dropped down all the way to fucking 77.
Yeah, why is that? Why? How does that work?
It's because they put more players' numbers in. Simply gets skewed. And they add all their numbers. Right? Maybe Tanner early on was like, you know what? I'm going to just run because I know I'm fast as fuck. And great. So it's like, oh my God, this dude's testing off the gym. You know, out the gym, blah, blah. Like, his height's good. His weight, blah, blah. But then he's got it. They're at pro day. They're like, yeah, buddy, you got to do the shuttle. He's like, fuck. Like, I'm about to suck. You know, but that's just how it goes sometimes. Look, dude. Yeah, he's so athletic. He's really similar to Eric Autonomy, bro. He's just, yeah. He is a multi-dimensional threat. And what did the Bengals need for this offense? They needed speed, explosives, and multi-dimensional players to have more multifaceted, chameleon-like concepts in their offense so they're not vanilla. So they're not so black and white. We're going five wide. We're doing 11 personnel 90% of the fucking time. We're keeping it simple, cut and dry. We're predictable, and we are not explosive because of it, because teams know what we're doing. They got explosives, and they got dudes that can operate in 12 as pass catchers or blockers. Boom. They got three of them. It comes back to the macro of what we always talk about with this FO, bro. They are so calculated. No, it's not always what we predict, almost never what we predict. But you look back at it, and it's like, all right, that completely makes sense. And even more effectively, like I said, them choosing to capitalize on Eric All because they probably know they could put him on PUP. They just got two tight ends with the 10 picks, so that's your luxury, right? When they kind of compensated for not drafting a fucking tight end since 2019, they say, you know what, we're taking two of these dudes. Daniel Jeremiah's second tight end on the board, 68 overall. And me personally, I know Jeremiah more than almost anybody, probably more than anybody, because he was a pro scout for 12 fucking years and chose to retire to do this. His 68th overall player, Tanner McLaughlin. And then Eric All was not far behind. I think he was tight end 4 on his list. Like, the Bengals got two premium tight ends in this class. That 25, and they'll do some damage this year, but mainly 25. Dude, this tight end room is going to be fucking nasty.
Well, there might be some listeners, you know, listening to this podcast. Maybe you can kind of, how would I say it, I can't even think of the analogy. Maybe you can help them out, because I know there's a lot of people listening that maybe were like, man, I really wanted Cade Stover there. Eric All pick. And you know, the Eric All upside is crazy. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I think the word you're looking for is probably quell.
There you go. See, I was, thank you.
It's cool, bro. You're close. You're saying Cade Stover. So, I think Cade's a bit undersized.
Bit Jamal Charles moment.
Yeah, no shit, bro. God damn. They gave him a complicated fucking name. They could at least tell him, like, hey, bro, it's Sua Matea.
No, that's messed up. Because I wouldn't have been able to pronounce it.
Yeah, bro, like, it's so funny, man. Some people are just the worst at pronouncing names. But, yeah, dude, so Cade Stover, 6'3". 230 something, I think. Just a bit unathletic. He's a good pass catcher. He's just one dimensional. So,
not really a blocker.
Yeah, not really a good blocker.
So, I mean, would you say with these like two tight ends that we drafted, they kind of got both of it? Like they gave you that pass blocking.
Now we got to keep context, right?
Right.
Like, are any of them really good fucking blockers?
Right.
No. There's very, like, the best blocking tight end in this class was probably Jared Watt. And he went to the fucking Chiefs. Athletic, he was underrated, really underrated. But yeah, I mean, none of these dudes are locked down. But can you aspire to be like a CJ Uzama? Can you become a CJ Uzama? If you could, hey, CJ was a really good blocker towards the end of his tenure here. So yeah, I think those dudes are some of the most balanced tight ends in the class. So yeah, dude, I mean, it's clutch. I'm stoked on their outlook. You know, like I just keep coming back to with how I think they're gonna handle Eric effectively. You know, not force him on Pup, but pry for his best and for us to fucking stash talent. You know, and I'm excited for that. So let's go ahead and turn the page to 214. Cedric Johnson, Edge. This was the moment, at least me and a lot of, you know, us fans that were in the playback for so long, where like interior O-line has to be here, bro. Christian Mahogany is there, like Bo Limmer's still there, these guys, blah blah. Cedric fucking Johnson. Dude, I was just like,
Bro,
what the fuck?
and you know, it was taken forever for that fucking pick. It
So annoying.
was taken forever. I was listening to a space too, and I mean, dude, like it was, you know how like people on Twitter, they'll come out with it quick. They'll tweet it out like, hey, da-da-da, drafted. That was not happening at these last picks. The only time that happened was when Brendan Rice got drafted because he's a flashy name. All these other guys, it's like all the tweets stopped. So you actually have to watch the draft now in depth to really see who you're drafting and whatnot. Because I don't know, I'm always in motion with making the graphics and stuff. You know what I mean? So when I'm looking at it, I'm like, I'm the same way. I'm like, man, interior line, Cedric Johnson, defensive end. Maybe he can play. Out, you know, offensive guard.
Obviously not. Well, because
I'm playing, yeah.
no, I know, but his profile is pretty damn impressive, bro. So
Yeah.
being the edge, look, what we've always said, a big thing with fans is some it just goes over a lot of their heads. The Bengals do not entertain, let alone draft. They do not entertain edge rushers that are below 260 pounds. They just don't think it fits what they want. In this defense, you got to hold up against the AFC North, the type of production they want from you, the type of player they want you to be. If you're not 260, you're not a Bengal. At the edge position, this dude fits that, just fits the threshold of 260 pounds, 6'3", elite explosion, and runs a 4.63. So this dude has got crazy burst. And what I saw on tape was I saw a dude that didn't flash much of anything. I felt like he was simply a moron athletic miles, which is expected. 99.9% of dudes are less athletic than Miles Murphy. But a dude that had some bend, not much, some strength, nothing popped off the crate, you know, the tape crazy. So like I like the athletic upside. I like the percentile athlete. He's had 16 sacks in his career. Like, that's nothing crazy to me, so I'm gonna be transparent. I'm not dissing on the pick. It's just meh. I don't know if he's a dude that really moves the needle. So we'll see.
Where did Christian Mahogany go?
He went to the, where did he go? I thought he went to the Chargers.
He went, no, he might have. I thought he went to someone like,
Christian.
let's see, Detroit. Detroit. Yep.
Oh, great. Well, he's
Right.
a
Exactly.
fucking all pro.
Right.
Damn. Bro, and fuck the Steelers too, bro. God damn. They did what we were supposed to do with the O-line.
Thank you.
Troy Faiutanu, fucking Zach Frazier, fucking McCormick, bro. God damn it. And then they drafted Broderick Jones last year.
They got Mason McCormick.
Yes, bro. And they got fucking Isaac Suamalo. That O-line is about to be fucking nasty. And it sucks. So we better get ready, bro. Like, and You know, that's why I'm glad we drafted a dude like Chris Jenkins last night. McKinley, I hope it works out.
You know what I thought about randomly earlier in the episode? Think about Chris Jenkins and Bob Hell.
Hey, that sounds like a fuck it. That sounds like a movie duo for
Chris Jenkins,
you know,
Bob Hill.
like Bob Hill. Yeah, dude. What's that show called?
King on the Hill.
King of the Hill.
Bobby.
Hill. Like such a fucking nerd. Bob Hill. Damn right, bro. I gotta get used to calling him Bob. Like I can't call him BJ Hill. Like BJ, the name that sounds too chill for him, dude. Yeah, he's gotta be Bob. That's how I've been messing around as well, like in the spaces like JJ McCarthy. I'm like, that motherfucker ain't JJ too. Like he's Jonathan James, because I learned that's what his name was. I was like, till he proves he's worth a damn. Like we JJ to JJ, like blah blah. Bro, buddy gotta, you know, he may be dog water. Like, no dog water dude should be called JJ. You should be called by your normal name.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. Shout out to the Bengals draft party. When I went there, man, I was like kind of up close. I didn't get to talk to Yoshi because you know there was a bunch of people around and shit. And then Chase Brown was there too. I was like, man, I could be in the
You are
I could
crazy.
be in the league. I got signed. What? Nah.
The buddy size himself up. Hey, that was funny. We were talking about that in the space today. I was like, they're saying I should walk on, and they're hyping me up. I'm like, nah, man. The only problem is I fucking suck at football. No, I'm kidding. At least compared to pros.
No, bro, we should low key like start like training. I want to see what I can do as a punter. Totally random for anybody listening. I could probably be the next punter for
Hey,
the Bengals. Can
was saying, man, he's got them freaky leg genetics. And hey, let's go, bro. What genetics do I have? Nothing. Like, I ain't got shit, bro. I would say,
got a leg, man.
I would be like, I don't even know. Like, supposedly there was this prospect in the draft named Anaya Smith, and like Coach Green, because just a fucking mauler as a wide receiver. He's that athletic, but he's got some juice. That, like, dude, when I latched onto them little ass fucking corners, bro, I buried them motherfuckers, bro. Dude, I was nasty. Bro, I was like a guard. I was like a tackle out in slot, bro.
We'll have to go out to one of them 13U games and say we're 13.
Thanks, bro. I'm gonna pull up and write this motherfucker on steroids. Like, this kid looks crazy for 13.
Oh, shit.
Nah, but let's go ahead and turn the page to the 224th overall pick. So you get the Ole Miss edge, right? With some, you know, profile, got it, blah, blah, blah. You look to shape out the room. You look to shape out another room, the safety room. So I was looking for the O-line still because there are guys there. So I was like, what the fuck? I still forget his name. What's his name?
Dajon, okay, Daijahn, Anthony, defensive back, and that's kind of in a way when they say it like that, because you got cornerback here for Josh Newton, but defensive back, he can play safety. They also mentioned he can play slot corner.
Okay. Yeah, so dude, you know, that's obviously got some versatility. A can't knock versatility.
No.
I'm seeing 6.61 on the RAS, 4.55 speed, 195, 6 foot flat. Vert was 37, 10 yard split was pretty good at 1.56. Yeah, you know, so just sounds like a well-rounded dude, right? Nothing that's hopping off. You know, completely hopping off the screen. A dude that has a knack for the football. What's pretty cool is supposedly this dude started at a completely local college, then went to play at Liberty, then transferred to Ole Miss. And a dude that did not think he was going to play football in college at all. You know, then walked on at Liberty, got on to Ole Miss, had a career year. Now he's playing for the Bengals. That's pretty cool. Is it going to be worth a damn? I don't know. I'm just keeping it a buck. So, yes, your seventh round pick, Dejon Anthony. You are a Bengal.
Yeah, so he played corner, I guess, for a couple years there at Liberty. And then when he came to Ole Miss is when he started playing safety, where, I mean, he had a career year, you know, Ole Miss with three picks. So you get some, I mean, you get some value here in the late rounds. And I think, you know, never hurts, right? I didn't expect him. For some reason, when I looked back at 2019, I was like, you know what? There's a chance we might actually draft 10 guys. And we did. I mean, I thought actually at the Eric All pick, I thought we were gung-ho on getting Audric Estime. And then he went two picks before us. I was like, oh. But I think they probably had their, you know, sights set on Eric All.
No doubt.
Plus James Casey, he was hyped. I'm sure he was really, really happy today with McLaughlin and all.
Oh yeah, and he's stoked, no doubt. Yeah. You know, so kind of wrapping up that 224 pick there. We'll move to the last pick we had. Finally, get your interior O lineman. No, it's not the guard. No, it's not the guard that's gonna battle out Cordell Volson week one like most fans wanted. Unfortunately, they believe in Cordell Volson unequivocally, it looks like right now. Which, A, he was great in the last five, six games of last season, right? So I'm not completely knocking that. But no one's coming in to test him. But Matt Lee, this was my center five or six, one of those guys on, you know, out of the entire draft. And he's just solid at everything. You know, like I broke down earlier, you know, before we recorded, I'll do it for everyone else quickly. Strong feet, quick feet, smooth feet. He's really athletic. He's a 90 percentile athlete. Good anchor for being only a little bit over 300 pounds. Good hands, good leverage. Just strong lower body to really be able to kind of hold up dudes, you know? And he works well in space. So, and he's a mauler. Just all around solid center. Me, Brady, Zim, other dudes that watched him, and you know, ladies as well, when we were watching him playback, you know, when we were getting the tape ready, we were really surprised and impressed with Matt Lee. Because we're like, oh, you know, like 220th ranked prospect, where this dude may be dog water, but oh, well, we'll watch. Really impressed. This is a solid dude all around. Super fucking stoked that we got him at 237. This is one of my favorite picks in the draft. Like maybe some of the best value in the entire fucking draft for the Bengals. And yeah, man, I'm stoked. I think this dude could legitimately get a run as starting center in 2025.
What you think about it, I saw a good amount of people on Twitter and whatnot saying, you know, that this guy was a, you know, fourth, fifth round pick. So that's typically where the Bengals kind of value that center position, unless you you draft Billy Price, but you know, in a panic situation. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't speak to, you know, my knowledge on this guy too much. You guys have been doing the studying and breakdowns, but I mean, I definitely take your guys' word for it. You know, you think here in the seventh round, it's not crazy, right? Not saying that he's going to come out and be a Trent Brown level at center, but Trent Brown was a seventh round pick too. So I mean, you can always find guys, and you never know, you can hit on guys. And in my opinion, this draft, I know there was mixed reviews. Like, you know, Joe Goodberry thought it was a C. Then you look at just fans in general, not like trying to call out Joe Goodberry, because I actually love how he breaks down, you know, a lot of football and prospects and stuff of that nature. But looking at this draft overall, in my opinion, man, I like it, bro. And I'm not trying to be biased either, because I've seen in years past where I've kind of looked at picks, and I mean, we all know, like, the McKinley Jackson pick was kind of like a reach in a way. And
It was
a lot of people look at this draft as kind of like a high risk, high reward type deal, like, you know, the Mims pick, or Jermaine Burton, people, you know, with the
you know, character issues apparently, and then you got Eric All here with the injuries, and I guess I understand in a way from that perspective, but I also am like, I'm kind of like proud of the Bengals for like taking the chance, because these are like high profile guys, right? It's not like these guys are bad players. Like I said, like Jermaine Burton, I think he's gonna be a stud, bro. And I think if all, like you said, if you can put him on pup, he doesn't have to rush back. You already know you got the tight end depth, right? You got Gesicki. We know he's going to play the slot. He's still charted on that, you know, tight end depth chart. So you still got him there. And then you got Sample and Hudson, not McLaughlin. You know, it's going to be interesting, like you said, how much do they value Hudson? You would think draft pick. Hopefully McLaughlin comes out there and really proves it, that he deserves it. And that would be fun in preseason. But just to kind of touch on another guy outside of the draft, yeah. I don't want to go through all, you know, the free agents, because those will come out along the way.
Yeah.
But the Bengals, man, they sign a UDFA punter from college. I believe he went to Texas Tech, Austin McNamara. I don't know if you saw it, the 87-yard punt, which he got roughed up in the kick too. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean you're exactly right, bro. Like, I didn't know that we were gonna get arguably the best punter in the draft. I think the Bengals took the exact approach they should. You should never spend a pick on a punter, period. Like, in a kicker even makes me question. But, yeah, absolutely the case of the punter. They didn't do it. They waited around. They prioritized Austin McNamara. And, yeah.
Guess who got, did you see who got Ryan Recco?
Nah, I don't even know who that is, Ryan Recco.
Oh, really? So I forget who did a breakdown of him, but they were kind of – he's a smart guy. If I could say his name, you would know it, but – he kind of broke down like why he thought Ryan Recco was like, I guess, the best punter in the draft. And he went to the Kansas City Chiefs after they just, you know, moved on from Tommy Townsend. So like, wow, they probably just got another fucking crazy punter too.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, lots of shit happens, you know, even after the draft, lots of dudes sign, and, you know, who knows, maybe we could get a gem in there. Obviously rare, but, you know, with the advancements in technology that's expected for this type of shit, you know, maybe it could go well.
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to try to keep going on, but looking at, like, Jermaine Burton one last time, there's people, I've seen it on my page a lot. It's kind of like a generalized opinion, because we know that we love Yoshi, right? We're kind of like the first ones who advocated for Andre Yosivash, and kind of getting the playing time coming into the second season and whatnot. I think people look at like the Jermaine Burton, at least on my page. I don't know if people are uneducated or what. Not trying to diss or, you know what I mean? But like, I think people thought like Yoshi was going to be like the slot receiver this year. And it's like, I think Yoshi would love that. Remember in the podcast, but Bengals aren't going to put him in the slot. You know what I mean? They like him on that outside, you know, with, you know, say T comes out, they got him also a great red zone threat too, to put in there. Mm-hmm. But Jermaine Burton, as we talked about, you know, has that versatility on the inside and outside. So
yeah, he's receiver three day one. Yeah. He is your Tyler Boyd impact day one, like Jermaine,
like truly, like
yes, like as if he's Tyler Boyd, and hopefully more, actually more. I got a take now. Jermaine Burton, if he plays 17 games,
has he had health issues?
No, I don't think.
Okay,
I'm trying to think of how bold I want to go with this take. If Jermaine Burton plays 17 games, I'm going to do it. he's giving you 1,000 rookie year. Wow. I'm doing it. He's capable. Like, this dude is completely capable. Yeah, bro, that's what I think he can do. You know, and you feel a lot comfortable operating like how we talked about, you know, because I provide both sides. I think it is a bit overrated with being a slot. The label carries too much weight.
Right.
Yeah, size, things like that. But like I said, the philosophy of how you become a slot is kind of inverse. A lot of people think that they earn the slot position. You don't really earn it. You're kind of thrusted into it because you're not a superior outside receiver. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh my God, you're just such an incredible slot. Typically, it's like, hey, dude, we're going to move you into the slot.
Right. Benefit you.
Exactly. To kind of help you in positions to win. So,
have you watched videos of that guy? Like, just him, like, kind of.
Of Jermaine?
Interviews. Yeah, man. He just seems like a dog.
Well, yeah, he is. He's a dog. I watched the cool moment when he learned the 513 area code stuff.
Yes, bro. Shout out to Joe Danham because look, bro, I was thinking like that's kind of big. You know, you have a news type guy asking those questions. It's already going to be on there. I know the Bengals already know about it. Just do it.
Gotta happen, bro. He already wore number 3 in college. It's got
like, please don't give the punter. Please don't give the punter.
Yeah, don't give the random fucking quarterback, even though we did sign Rocky Lombardi. Shout out Rocky Lombardi. Name. Blonde. The dude's the most blonde fucking dude. Like, you just think of the blondest dude, the blondest person, like blonde.
Well, you know who else has luscious locks, too? Logan Woodside. Okay, get your what? We're going to put him in the wood chipper, okay?
All right.
Lombardi? Well, no.
The fucking woodshed.
The wood chipper. He's going in the wood chipper.
That's brutal. Dude, whoever loses the job goes to the wood chipper. RIP, man. That's a man, look, it's a fun time of year, man. We leave this draft and we're going to conclude this because I'm not going to lie. My brain is fucking fried. Fried. I'm so gassed. I'm so tired. Bro, I'm not going to lie. Just 3 minutes ago, my brain literally glitched. I don't know the last time I've glitched like a fucking computer. Like, I got to reload, bro. Like, I remember you actually transitioned it well, but typically, you know how I drag on my point a bit longer. I just, like, stopped because my mind just stopped. That's where I'm at. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up here in a couple minutes. We leave the draft. It's a damn good draft. But, man, I was just thinking this before as well, bro, before the pod. Bro, it's about to be MAB season. We're going to see who's the man amongst the boys. Last year, we saw a couple stand up. We saw the cream rise to the top of the DJ Ivies, the Andre Yosevashes, the dudes that begin to separate themselves.
Yeah.
These are a lot of the dudes that you're going to see thrusted into that type of game, which is the MAB game. Are you gonna be number 54-90? Or are you gonna be 53-1? You know what I'm saying? It's a fun type of year that you may get a guy, a diamond in the rough, that's like, here's UDFA number 8. He's just a number. But then he proves he's worth a damn. You know, and before we know it, man, that time of season, I should say, it's going to be coming around. Got rookie minicamp in a week or two.
I mean, it's awesome. We're already past the draft. We were talking about it leading up, how, you know, the countdown to the draft, and now it's finally over, and you're going to, like you said, you're going to have rookie minicamp here soon. It's going to start to feel nice outside. Vibes are going to be great in there. Because, I mean, I come away from this draft feeling great. And going, like, I want to start. I know there was people on Twitter and stuff like, let's fucking play tomorrow. Like, seriously, like, that's how I feel. Like, after this draft, it's like, man, I want to watch football tomorrow. But I mean, once you got to think, Joe Burrow's got to be a happy guy. Got two guys on the offensive line, first pick, last pick. You got Jermaine Burton, who is a dog, right? Now you have three wide receivers from major universities as your top three, right? You have Jermaine from Alabama, T from Clemson, and Jamar.
I was going to add, outside of OSU, all receiver universities.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd agree.
Like, it's not something normal. Like, it's you don't get the opportunity to always just do that.
Yep. I mean, so excited, bro. Yeah, like, I guess I will add really quickly. Let's not drag this out. Oh, God, we're going to do this. Yeah, I really want to head out with this, but I just want to add it quickly. No Jalen Wright, and Jalen Wright to the Dolphins. I was so pissed, bro. I was motherfucking for like 30 seconds. Fuck. Fucking bitch, bro. Dolphins are so fast. No running back added. Interesting. I could tell that the value was just not correlative with the spot they were at. I knew they liked some of the running backs. It just didn't work out for them. So that was kind of something interesting leaving this.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of guys where it's like you look at it and you're like, damn. And he goes there. Wow. Yeah. He could have been here. But at the end of the day, it's all finalized now. It's all set. God, man. Do you think there's a possibility? You think our roster's set? I know there was maybe talks. I'm not saying legitimate. I'm just saying fans. Like, oh, maybe Dalton Risner, but seems like we're kind of good, right?
We're good. We're good everywhere. But a Dalton Risner could work. D-line, you're good. You're good. You got to stick with your guys. Bro. You're fucking loaded. Everywhere. You got your punter even. I think Austin whatever the fuck his name is, McDonald is your punter day one. I feel like Brad's job is gone. Bro, that shit's over. So,
we'll see, man. You're Chinese, buddy.
Yeah, you better learn fucking UFLNese. Gotta be a fucking stallion. You're about to be competing with Drew Chrisman in the fucking UFL. Better be ready. DoorDash
League.
Yeah, DoorDashers. The fucking Cincinnati DoorDashers. Better be punting for them. You are a DoorDasher. People are going to go, oh, the DoorDash? No, you're the new team. I'm making the team.
Did you see what Tasha said today?
What? He's a
team. Oh my God, are you there still?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I didn't go or something like that. I gotta find it. It was so hilarious. It's in relation to what we're talking about. She goes, I know one thing. Brad fucking Robbins' ass better be taking that motherfucking mustache outside and kicking some fucking footballs.
Facts, man. You better get busy. Facts. He was probably piss punting. Pissed off, man. He was hate punting. hate watching the game or some shit, like you watching the Chiefs and you definitely hate watching.
Burst. He's like, all right, I'm on a revenge tour. I'm gonna go to the fucking Cleveland Browns.
No doubt, man. That pick pissed me off as well. But yeah, man. You know, I feel good about where we're at. Like I said, I'm fucking gassed, dude. So I'm gonna go ahead and end this. Quickly, we'll post this on Sunday or Monday. This following week, we'll definitely be back with more content on what the next steps look like. And any closing thoughts you got, bro?
It's Burton season, and let's fucking go win a ring, man. Maybe that's what it was. We had to get a Burton on the squad. You know, Kenzo Fox had to get his RAS figured out.
Yeah.
Now we're good, man.
We are good, bro. Out of this fuck, and yeah, dude, that's the goal, you know, to come back this time next year to be picking 32nd and to have plenty of good problems on our hands. So until then, that'll do it for this episode of the All Things Bengals podcast. Peace out, bro.
Peace.